when we spend time in Scripture, it helps us to grow and to understand and to know and to become the Christian that God would have us to be. We must commit ourselves to the gospel message without reservation, because the gospel is not merely the starting point of our faith. It is the foundation upon which the Christian life is built. The gospel message is so important for each and every one of us.
Welcome to Friendly Connection. Friendly Connection is the teaching ministry of Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
We at Friendly Connection pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
So a four-year-old was asked to share what he considered the creation story to be. And in four-year-old fashion, this is what that four-year-old said. In the big ending, which was close to the start, there wasn't anything except God, darkness, and some gas. This is how we know God loves baseball, because he starts his book in the big ending. The Bible says, "The Lord thy God is one." But I think he must be much older than that. Anyway, God made the world, and then he said, "Give me some light." And someone gave him some light. It was just before Eve that God made Adam. But he split an atom to make Eve. Adam and Eve didn't wear any clothes, but they weren't embarrassed because God hadn't invented mirrors yet. Adam and Eve sinned by eating one bad apple. But it wasn't the bad apple in the tree that got us in trouble. It was the pear on the ground. The pear on the ground was driven out of the Garden of Eden. But I'm not sure how God drove them, because he hadn't invented cars either. Adam and Eve's son, Cain, hated his brother as long as he was able. After a while, all the first people except Methuselah who had lived to be like a million years old. But Adam and Eve weren't the only people who had no parents. The Bible says Joshua was the son of Nun. David became the greatest babysitter because he rocked Goliath to sleep. And of course, as silly as that little story is, you know, sometimes in talking with people who profess Christianity, who profess to be Christians, when you ask them about their faith or how to put their faith together, sometimes their responses seem almost as nonsensical as this four-year-old. You have some of the elements of it, but it's just not meshing up the way it needs to. I talked with one young lady many years ago, and she says, "Oh, I'm okay with God because years and years ago when I was a baby, my parents had me confirmed in church, so I've been okay with God ever since." Really? Can you show me in Scripture where it says being confirmed as a baby means you're okay with God? You know, Scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every last one of us. There has to be a change in our sin nature for us to be accepted by God. And that's what Christ Jesus has done for each and every one of us. And when we believe in the work that he has done, And when we trust him in the free pardon of sin, and when we ask him to forgive us of our unrighteousness and to cleanse us, Scripture says he is faithful and just to do just that. And that's the beginning, the Christian life. So I want to think about this morning. What exactly is the Christian life? If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to our main text, which is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Reading from the ESV this morning, Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19, it reads like this. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confidence of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us pray. Father, I'm thankful for your word. I thank you that we don't have to struggle through this life wondering what we have to do to have a relationship with you. I thank you that you have spelled it out in your word, how simple it is to come to faith in Christ, to be forgiven, and to know the best possible life, the Christian life. Not a life without heartaches, but a life that is guided by your Holy Spirit, a life that is kept in your protection, a life that when heartaches come, you help us grow stronger and our faith grow deeper and our confidence grows stronger in you. Father, we're thankful for that. And Father, today I just pray that we are encouraged, that we really think about the things that we're talking about. And Father, that if, like the four-year-old, we struggle when we try to explain the Christian life to others, that, Father, through today and through our own study, we will be able to confidently say, yes, this is what it means to live the Christian life. Father, I'm thankful that you hear us. I'm thankful you answer us. We pray this in the strong name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So understand that we come into the Christian life through placing faith in Christ Jesus, through asking him to forgive us of our unrighteousness. You know, we sometimes think, well, I've not done the things that someone like Hitler has done. And that's true, and I'm glad for that. But see, how many of us in this room have told a lie? Well, I mean, we've broke one of the Ten Commandments. How many of us have ever looked at something that wasn't ours and coveted that thing? Well, then we've broken one of the Ten Commandments. Understand, we were born with a sin nature. But God didn't want to leave us in that place. Because originally, he created us good. He called us good. We're the ones who brought sin into the world. We're the ones that brought evil into the world. And you say, well, that was Adam and Eve. But the truth of the matter is, regardless of whether it was Adam and Eve or if it had been me and Sonia in the garden, the same thing would have happened. But praise God, he made a way that we didn't have to live in that fallen state. That's why Jesus came. That's why he shed his blood for us at Calvary. So that when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, ask him to forgive us of our unrighteousness, he is faithful and just to do just that. That's how the Christian life starts. So as we continue in the Christian life, We do so through the power of the gospel. In fact, power for living the Christian life is found in the gospel message. In his letter to the Romans, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, meaning that the gospel message is what can transform a life, Christ and him crucified. Think about that. Jesus doing for you what you could not do for yourself. Because even if you died for yourself, your blood, your sacrifice would not be pure enough, would not be strong enough for holy God's standard. But Jesus, his sacrifice was, and he did that once and for all for each and every one of us. That's good news this morning. That should make us want to rejoice this morning. So, through the gospel message, we put faith in Christ. And through the gospel, it helps us gain a more profound knowledge of God. That's why it's so important to be in this word daily. Because the more we're in this word, the more we're in devotional study, the more that we study his word. 2 Timothy 2:15, that's one of my favorite verses. Study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God who needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. The more time we spend in this word, the more our roots and our confidence grow in God Almighty, the God of the universe who gave his very best sacrifice so that we could have a relationship with him. Being in the gospel keeps us grounded in our devotion to Jesus. There's so many things that want to rob our devotion, our worship from Jesus. But when we're in this word, where we're in the gospels especially, it just draws us to a place where we want to worship Jesus and just praise him for who he is and what he's done for each of us. And when we spend time in scripture, it helps us to grow and to understand and to know and to become the Christian that God would have us to be. We must commit ourselves to the gospel message without reservation, because the gospel is not merely the starting point of our faith. It is the foundation upon which the Christian life is built. The gospel message is so important for each and every one of us. And that's part of living the Christian life. Another part of the Christian life is that the Christian life demands sacrifice. We don't always like to think of that word sacrifice. And if you turn on some of the televangelists of our modern era, you hear a very polluted gospel message where, oh, you get a house, you get a car, all your problems go away. That's not the truth. That's not what Christ came to do for each and every one of us. He came to save us. That's the good news. That's the gospel message. But we have to understand that even living the Christian life, we have to continue to crucify our flesh, continue to sacrifice to live for him. I can't tell you how many times in a week my flesh just wants to rise up. The old nature wants to come back. And I have to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for this. And I'm sure if we poll the room, I'm not alone in this. The things make us mad, that's not righteous indignation. It's just worldly madness. And we have to say, God, forgive me. But here's the thing. He's faithful to forgive us when we ask. Paul stated to the Galatians that he had been crucified with Christ and no longer lived, but Christ lived in Paul. It's the same for each and every one of us. We were crucified. When we believe in Christ's work, we were crucified. Our sins were crucified to that cross. And Christ has given us a new nature and a new life in him. We can't live that nature in the flesh. We live that nature in the spirit.
I hope you will join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's word together. Blessings.